mad at me. I changed my mind about wanting to stand, and he thinks I was trying to cut him out of his job. I don't know. Until you're still getting a raise, okay? Good morning. It's good to see everybody. We're continuing. Thank you, Tim. Now I can see. We'll actually find out what this paper says. We're going to continue our study on the Holy Spirit, and there is so much to talk about and so much to delve into. Will talked about the Trinity last week. I'm not going to try to I can't totally recap that message and do justice to what I want to talk about today, what God's laid on my heart. So if you're behind, go online, listen to last week's sermon, and get caught up. It's the best I can do for you this morning. I'm sorry. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, and specifically I want us to look at His work in our prayer lives. So if you have your Bibles, you can be turning to Romans chapter 8. We're going to spend all our time this morning in two verses. So this is going to be really hard for me. I have been working all week to stay on track, not be distracted. If y'all are not aware, I have trouble staying on track. I'm easily distracted. But we'll talk about these two verses. Let me ask you a question as you're turning to Romans 8. How many of you have ever not known what to pray? Just raise your hand. You're in luck. This morning we're going to talk about that, because I think for a long time when I went to church, I felt like I was struggling every Sunday. And I sat in the room with folks and I went, nobody knows. Nobody knows how much I hurt. Nobody knows how much I struggle. Nobody knows how much I don't understand. Nobody knows. And when I read this passage of Scripture, we're going to look specifically at verses 26 and 27 today. I was so greatly encouraged, because I realized something. God knew, and in fact, maybe even Paul knew 2,000 years ago, even though we never met. So listen to what Paul writes for us in verses 26 and 27. He says simply this: in the same way, the Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, if you came this morning hoping that I was going to explain to you how the Spirit talks to God and how God talks to the Spirit, you will leave here disappointed, because I cannot explain that. That is a work of God between the Holy Spirit and Him, and I can't get my mind around that all the way sometimes. Will and I talked about this, and Will's like, I don't know either, Billy. I don't know how do you explain that. And I go, Will, I can't. And he goes, I get it. But what I think we miss when we read this is that Paul said that we would have weakness. And when I first read this passage, I sat in church and I went, I'm not the only one. In fact, I might even be not only the weirdo that's struggling and hurting, that feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders and he really doesn't know what to say to God or how to express what's in his heart, but he really doesn't know what God wants from him, that I might actually even be normal. And that God said that I would have struggles in this world. In fact, if you read most of chapter 8, it basically says we're living in a decaying world in a decaying body. When you get past 50, you find out about decaying bodies. It's faster than you want it. And what I've realized and what Paul talks about is that, guess what? If we live in this fallen world, in a body that's decaying, a decaying world due to sin, and a body that's falling, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to have bad days. Some seasons of life are not going to be easy. They're going to be bad. It's going to be tough. But the mistake is we're looking in the vicinity, in other words, looking in the last 5 minutes towards the next 5 minutes and going, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Maybe if I hadn't, maybe if he hadn't or she hadn't, life would be so much better. And maybe some of that is true. But maybe what we're experiencing comes from living in a fallen world, a judged world. And that means some days are great, but overall it means, guess what? Times are tough. It is evidence that there's sin and that it's real. And the only way to get through this struggle is to get our eyes off of the last 5 minutes and the next 5 minutes and lift it up towards God. And that sounds so simple, but it is exactly what Paul exhorts us to. In fact, I would say to us this morning, if you're sitting here and you're going, I don't know what Billy's talking about. I've always had it all together. I know it's amazing that somebody could feel that way. But if you're sitting here and you're going, I always have it all together. I've never been confused about what God wanted. I've never struggled. I've never hurt. I've never asked God why. I've never been frustrated with God. I've never asked Him the same thing like 4,700 times in prayer and got what I thought was no answer. You should be really concerned. Because Paul says this is what it's like to live in this body. So I want to do something really basic for us this morning. I want to try to answer three questions that come from this text. When I read text, a lot of times I go, well, this, why this? And I want to answer those three questions, and I want to give you some encouragement to take away from this text. Because above all else, this text should encourage us. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Do you understand what that means? That God intercedes in heaven for me. And the three questions I want to answer is this. Simply, why does God, the Holy Spirit pray for me? How does the Holy Spirit pray for us? And what does the Holy Spirit pray for us? And then give us some encouragements to take away from this. So let's start by this. Why does the Holy Spirit pray for us? Well, listen to what it says in Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us because at times we are ignorant. I am working on a project for my granddaughters. I took our Christmas tree and I cut some discs off the end of it. We have a live Christmas tree Carol and I did every year. And I cut some discs off of the end of the tree last Christmas, and I'm going to put each of my granddaughters' names on one of the discs and the year and put Pawpaw on the back and make them a Christmas ornament. And so I've been letting the disc dry, and yesterday I really started to work on it. Well, I've been sanding on the disc to get it ready, and I went to Hobby Lobby by myself. It's the first time I've ever been to Hobby Lobby by myself without Carol. It's a very daunting experience. In fact, I just gave up and asked somebody to help me find what I needed. I find no joy like Carol does in roaming around the Hobby Lobby. Thank you, Jessica. Carol really finds less interest in Bass Pro, but that's... but anyway, I'm roaming around in Hobby Lobby, and I'm looking for a wood-burning kit. And I got home, and I'm deciding how... I don't use a wood-burning kit a lot. I'm not... I know this is going to surprise you. I'm not super crafty. So I start by taking a pencil and writing one of the granddaughter's names on the thing, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to wood burn this. This won't be any problem at all. Well, the disc is not exactly smooth, and so I start, and the little wood burner thing goes about this far, and then it jumps. And then it jumps. So I get this idea. I said, well, I'll just do little dots. And I'll connect them all together with this wood-burning thing. So I started with dots about, you know, this far apart. And I started and go, uh-oh. That won't work. Dots too far apart. Let's make them closer together. And I sat there and I'm looking at this disc on my workbench and I'm looking at these dots and I'm trying to connect these dots. And you know what I realized when I got done? The whole thing was crooked. In other words, I had lost perspective of all that goes around that. The whole disc was reduced to a little bit of dots that I could see and that I was trying to connect. And you know what I realized? That's the way I live. I don't have any perspective about the beginning of time. For most of my life, I can't... We were talking about kids, our kids this morning, and Megan asked me about my kids. We were talking about a drive-through nativity, and Carol and I played Mary and Joseph with the live Jesus at this drive-through nativity. And Megan pipes up and goes, "Well, do you remember which kid it was?" To which I said, "What? No." Okay, what I'm getting at is that my own kids, you know, Holly's going to soon be 31, so we're not talking about, we're not talking about a big lot of time in the whole lot of eternity, but I lost perspective. See, I'm trying to connect the dots, and what makes me ignorant about God's will in my prayer and why the Holy Spirit needs to walk alongside of me and intercede on my behalf is because I don't know the whole will of God. I'm trying to connect dots and make sense of a will of God that works from the beginning of time through now, through all of eternity, and I'm trying to do it in a few dots that I can see and touch and feel right now. And so consequently, I'm weak. And I pray the same prayer over and over again. And sometimes I wonder why I should even be praying that prayer and if I'm praying the right prayer. And what is the answer? And so the Holy Spirit intercedes for us because we don't have the whole plan. We don't know the entire will of God. And if you come to me, and Will, I'm going to speak on your behalf here, and say after church or in the next week that you know the entire will of God and you are certain about everything, you're going to get a funny look. We're going to ask you how. But most important, I want you to know that God intercedes for us and we don't have to know the whole will. He also intercedes for us because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has sin in it. And God understands our struggle. He understands what pain is like. His Son walked in this world. He understands that we are facing consequences. Some of decisions we made, some of decisions we had no control over. But what I want you to know is He understands our situation. And He loves us so much that He puts into the heart of a believer a piece of Him, the Holy Spirit, that intercedes for us. Do you understand how much He cares for you? He loved you. He knew what you needed before you ever needed it and before you could ever ask for it. And because of the world we live in, He sends this Holy Spirit, this helper, this paraclete, this person that comes along beside us that when we pray, He prays for us when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know how to pray, when we can't say anything, when our hearts are broken. He understands the situation that we live in. And that should bring us great comfort. Almost everybody in my family is a school teacher. Holly, Carol, Billy's wife, Carol's mom is a retired teacher, Carol's sister is a teacher. You want to see something funny? You ought to see when they all get together and they start talking school. And the struggles of school. And like twice in my life, you know what I've done? I thought, I've never taught school, but I should intercede in this conversation because I know a lot about what's going on. So I would start to speak to them. And it's taken me, I don't know, about 27 years into our marriage before I understood that sometimes Carol would, she finally would just say to me, "Can't you just pray for me and acknowledge that you understand my struggle? And that there is a struggle? Because you don't know what you're talking about. And do you understand that the God in heaven that created the universe, that set the stars and the moon, that pushed up the mountains, that makes the oceans flow out and flow in with the tide, He understands our predicament and He sends somebody alongside of us named the Holy Spirit to intercede for us in our prayer life." And folks, that ought to bring us great confidence that He knows that I don't know. And He knows the situation that I'm in, and He understands my need in that situation, so He sends exactly what I need, and that's the Holy Spirit to pray for me and intercede for me when I can't do it for myself. And that's why the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The idea here is that we would begin to know how much God loves us. So the question then becomes, how does He pray for us? The Holy Spirit, in Romans 8:26, it says simply this, that the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. I can't understand. To tell you exactly what that looks like. I don't know that I understand that, but I know that what the Spirit does, it takes the groans, the things of my heart, the things that hurt too much for me to put into words, the things that I can't say out loud, the things that I wish and dream and desire for and hope for, the things that I can't even speak. And He brings them before the throne of God. He utters them in a way that God Almighty Himself knows. That He can even express to God in an acceptable way my really biggest questions. And you know, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say some of y'all are like me because, see, sometimes I have this really horrible idea that I ought to be able to ask God why everything is happening in my life. And I understand that in this passage of Scripture, what happens here is the Holy Spirit takes those utterances of why and makes them acceptable before God. Because see, when I ask why, you know what I am? I'm weak. Because when I ask why, I begin to doubt that this God of the universe is in my constant care. And it's in the why that I express my weakness, that I express my doubt, that I don't understand how He's always working for my good. Because I don't know if y'all do this, but sometimes I think God's just slow. And I say, why does it take so long? And the great thing that happens here is the Holy Spirit comes along beside me and He works in me and He groans in me and He takes those things that I can't say that hurt me so deep. And He expresses them before God. I found out this week that my dad had a brother that nobody ever told me about. He was burned to death in a fire in their house. And in this coming, this knowledge, it's like, it hurt me. I'm like, why couldn't anybody tell me? This thing influenced my dad, which in a roundabout way influenced me. And I'm like, are we keeping a secret here? What's the deal? Let's talk. We're family. Can y'all not even tell me the truth? And I'm before God, because see, this week was also, it's weird how this works out. This week, yesterday was the anniversary of my dad's death. So maybe that's why this was talked about this week. But I'm before God this week going, I don't understand. Why God? Why couldn't my dad just reveal to me the hurt and the struggle in his life? Why God? Why God? And see, in my why God, those are the groanings that the Holy Spirit expresses before God. And He makes me... It also works in me in a funny way, and this is the practical side of this, okay? Because I'm just going to tell you what I have found from experience, and maybe it's not the same for y'all. But what I found is when I really am on my knees, when I'm really submissive to God, when I'm really face down and I go, why God? I can't do anything about this. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how I got here. I don't know what's going on. I'm broken. I'm beat down. I just might need to give up. I don't know what to do. I know in my spirit and from my understanding that God carries those petitions through the Holy Spirit before God. But you know what I find out too? That God groans within me. And that He begins to work on my heart. And that He begins to utter into me, Billy, it's not about you. It's about my glory. It's not about these small few dots that you can see. It's about the whole disc. I knew before now, I know now, and I'll know far beyond forever. I got it all connected. You can trust me. I'm working on it for you. So this Holy Spirit prays for us and He utters our deepest groans before God in a way that is okay with God. And then I think He works in us. But what does the Holy Spirit pray for us? I think He prays for us things that we don't know how to pray for out of our ignorance and our weakness. Now, what I want you to understand here is for a lot of us, this cannot be a point where I just jump off into the sea of immaturity as a Christian and walk forever. Because there is a lot that we know we should pray for. God reveals to us His will for our lives to a certain extent here. You know, I know that He wants us, if we walk with Him, to bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We are to pray for those things. He wants us to be servants. We are to pray that we would serve. There is a revealed will of God through His Word that we are to pray for. And when we begin to pray, our ignorance and our weakness should not be that we don't know what God wants us to do because we haven't even looked in His Word. And so I think this passage is a warning for us that we would be serious about what God wants us to know. And my fear is that for a lot of us, we see this idea that the Holy Spirit would come alongside of us and pray in our weakness, and we just decide, well, that means I can go to sleep. I don't have to know nothing. If I don't know anything, can't hold me responsible for anything, can he? Well, that's your bad plan. That's not God's will. So he prays for us in our weakness. He prays and helps us and comes alongside of us. He intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's verse 27. That he intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now that's he doesn't intercede for you to get what you want. If you're going, God, I just need a new car. I'm weak. I'm ignorant about this. I just need a new car. Well, a new car might not even be anywhere on his priority list. So we need to be careful about that. He prays in accordance with the will of God. If you look in verse 28, it says this, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. What Paul is beginning to set up is the fact that in all things God works. Do you know in the death of folks God works? In suffering, in your life and mine, God works. In joy, he works. In pain, he works. When things work out the way we want them to, he works. When things don't work out the way we want them to, he works. When things work like you have them planned for them, God works. When things don't work out like you have them planned, God works. And he always works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. The Spirit intercedes for us in a way that helps us to walk in accordance with God's will. And for a believer, that should be huge. I never thought that would even be remotely possible for me. And I understand, I'm so encouraged because the Holy Spirit lives and reigns inside of Billy and he intercedes on my behalf so that I could walk in accordance with the will of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a higher thing that I could do than walk in accordance with the will of God. Now, for some of us, therein lies the problem. We don't want to walk in accordance with His will. We want to walk in accordance with whose will? Ours. I will never be more than when I walk in accordance with His will. So let's talk about some things that we can take away from this passage. In your groans and struggles, you are understood, not judged. Do you understand that in your groans and your struggles before God, you are understood, not judged? God is searching your heart. He is finding in you your holy groaning, a deeper meaning to you than your words can even express. You know, it's you ever been in a room when you were the only person that didn't know something? And you feel kind of stupid, don't you? I used to approach God like I was the only person in the world that didn't know what He was talking about, and I was just stupid. And when I began to understand that the Holy Spirit intercedes for me and I don't have to know it all and I don't have to have it worked out and I don't have to be perfect and I don't have to be like this person that's sitting three rows in front of me that's been going to church all their stinking life and seems to have all their act together, that He understands my groanings and that He's not judging me, He's loving me. That He wants me to walk in accordance with His will. That's why He put the Holy Spirit in me. That He knows things that I don't even know and can't see. I don't have to know it all. It's number two, you don't have to know it all. It's okay not to know. There is one who knows. God knows it all. God knows it all. And let me tell you about the God that knows it all. He knows, he also knows you're struggling. And He also knows your need for not only just a Savior, but for someone to stand in on your behalf when you didn't know what to say. And He provides that Holy Spirit to work in you, to groan for you and to groan into you, to make your heart ache for His will, that you would walk with Him. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to know everything. In fact, sometimes the more I think I know, the less I know about God's will. It constantly amazes me how He works in the lives of folks around me. God's work in me is not limited to what I understand and can be put into words. Praise God, and it's the same for you. It's not limited to what I can understand or put into words. Our thinking is so small on the grand scheme of things. It is just little. You know, how many times is most of your thinking taken up to how are we going to pay the bills on Friday? You know, we're thinking long term. I can remember when our kids were little and Carol said to me, we need to think about our kids going to college. And I'm saying, I just need to like get through work next week. I need to survive tomorrow. Do you understand what's on my plate for tomorrow, what I'm trying to do? And God's work in our lives, you know, it's not limited to my small thinking. If it was in my wildest dreams, in my best thoughts, I could have never dreamed up the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I could have never come around to an idea that God would pour Himself in me, that this would be His temple, that a part of Him would live in me, and that He would intercede for me, and that He would groan in my heart. I couldn't dream that up on my best day. And when we read this passage of Scripture, we should be just beside ourselves that we understand that God's work is not limited by what we can put into words. I don't know if I'm a fairly new grandpa. I don't know if there's words to express what it means to be a grandpa. And we got one of them that's just about to say pawpaw. And there is nothing. We were Skyping with them, and she said, pa, 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 pa. I got no words for that. I mean, and praise God that He is bigger than our words and our thoughts. And finally, in our weakness, the Holy Spirit is praying for us and not against us. The Holy Spirit works on our behalf. Do you understand? And I say this all the time. God is always working for those who love and follow Him. He is always working for our good. Now, I don't understand it, because I'm connecting dots on a little disc, and He's in eternity and before time ever started and right now, and I can't get all of that. But I know this, He's always working for me. And that changes my context about how I see every struggle in my life. Y'all know that I was just in Rochester and they did some amazing scans and tests on me, and I got back, and if y'all work in the medical field, y'all will understand this, but I got back, and guess what I got in the mail? A bill. And we opened the first bill from the Mayo Clinic, and you can't imagine the number. You can't. They're not joking about how expensive some of that stuff is. And Carol said, what are we gonna do? And I looked at her and I said, I don't know, babe. We might die owing these people some money. Highly possible. And I don't think it's going to have anything to do with how we go to heaven. And she said, you think? And I said, I know. And I said, I know this. He's working on our behalf. There was a place to go when I needed it. They found out what I most needed them to find out. There's a plan for going forward. I have no doubt in my mind that He is working on our behalf. And there's a whole different context to this bill. Now, what's really cool is I called them and said, hey, you ain't getting a check. If you were hoping for it all at one spot, you're in trouble. And they said, oh, there's a mistake here. Some of this should have been recertified or something, I don't know. But you don't owe all this. And the bill was drastically reduced. But look, even when the bill was bigger than I could ever think about, He was working on my behalf. He was working for my good. In our weakness, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God has said, to whom I love and have called, you will be born into a world that in the beginning was cursed. And in the meantime, here's what I'm asking you. Lean forward. Be patient. Because in the meantime, here's what's going to happen. In this short time of life here on earth, you know what's going to happen for those of us who believe and follow Christ? The Holy Spirit is going to intercede on our behalf. God Himself is going to stand in place for me. That's right, you're going to be weak. There is no answer for the pain that this world offers. Sometimes it won't go away. But there is a context that allows us to endure it. And that is this context that we are not defeated by this world because the Holy Spirit stands in my stead and intercedes on my behalf before God. And He, the God of the universe, is working on and for my good. I might not ever see it. It might be in heaven. But that's what's going on. And it's when we quit trying to connect the little dots, when it's not all about last week and the next week and a paycheck and a new job and a car and a house, when it's all about a God that was there in the beginning and is here now and will be at the end of time, there is hope beyond all measure. So I say to you this morning, pray. Pray even when you don't know what to say. Because the God of heaven is working for you. Let's pray.